again this morning, we're going to talk some about prayer. What true prayer is. It is so important that we understand what true prayer is. God has designed it for us. It's like an adhesive that holds things together. And the things that it's holding together are the thing of the relationship between us and our God. These things that He's instructed us to do, we trust Him that they're right. We trust Him that His word is true. We trust Him that His direction is perfectly true. And then we obey His word in that trust. Well, all through His word, we are instructed, we are told, we are commanded to pray. To look to Him. Seek Him, we talked about this morning. Seeking Him. I want to read something that I ran across from John Bunyan, who lived back in the early 1600s. And I think what he said is right on target, and I want to use it this morning to guide us through this little lesson about what true prayer is. John Bunyan said, "Prayer is sincere, sensible, affectionate, pouring out of the heart or soul to God. Through Christ, in the strength and assistance of the Holy Spirit, for such things as God has promised, or according to His word, for the good of the church, with submission in faith to the will of God." That makes us think of what the Lord said. Not my will, but thine be done. Now, there are seven different things that he listed in this statement, in this description of what he thought true prayer was and is. Number one is sincere. Sincerity. In our prayer. Certainly, if we trust in Him to not only answer our prayer, but if we trust in Him to know what we really need, even when we get it wrong, then certainly we must be sincere in asking Him to provide for us what we need. We come to Him sincerely asking Him. Not doubting that He's going to do it. Oh, by the way, how about doing this or that? No. There are no by the ways. We go to Him sincerely because we seek Him. We realize our need of Him. And we seek Him in answer to, for guidance in, all the different complications in our lives. Whatever it is. We need His guidance, don't we? We trust Him to know what's right for us. He's the shepherd, right? He's the good shepherd who gives His life for the sheep. So we come before Him, and He's right about that. Sincerely. Sincerely. It is a sincere pouring out of the soul to God. And I spoke last week about prayer. About how at one time I thought it was silly of me, in God's view, to ask for some things that seemed trivial in comparison to the big picture and the spiritual battle that goes on all around us. And it's pretty intense. It's very important. It rises above a lot of things in this world that really aren't that important. But in my mind, in my daily walk, these little things are important too. And they are. And when I ask the Lord to help me with something simple, I'm sincere about it. Because I realize that though God is the God of the big picture, and He already has my life laid out in His hand, and He knows what tomorrow's going to bring. Though I don't, He does. And I trust in Him and all of those big things, my salvation. Him setting me apart from the world. Him keeping me safe as I put on the whole armor of God that he's provided so that I can walk in this life protected. Yet he's the God of all these little things that he allows to go in my life too. These things that go on in my life, though they be small and seem trivial, yet as we said earlier, God knows what we're feeling. He really does. Yes, God is watching from a distance. That was the song. God is watching us from a distance. And yes, he is. But he's also watching us from within. He's not just a God that's in heaven checking on us every once in a while. No. He's a God that dwells within us. He knows our concerns. He desires us to turn to him. And everything, pray without ceasing, is a commandment. It's an instruction for us. And this prayer, again, is like an adhesive that holds our relationship together. It constantly reminds us, and then we speak it back to the Lord, that we're in dependence on him. My strength doesn't exist. I'm weak and feeble. But he's not. He said, come unto me, ye who labor and are heavy laden. That's me. That's probably you. And I will, he said, give you rest. Rest. Sincerely coming before him, see. Sincerely. Faith, having faith in him, this trust in him, that he will answer, that he will hear, and that he will answer. Secondly, he said it was a sensible pouring out of the heart or soul. Sincere and sensible. It is not, as many take it to be, just a few babbling words, complimentary expressions, but it is a sensible feeling in the heart. Prayer has in it a sensibleness of different things. Sometimes sense of sin, sometimes of mercy received, sometimes of the readiness of God to give mercy. So you see, in my life I've noticed that I have been led away from a lot of my feelings because some places in the world, feelings and religion is all they have. I mean, we have natives worshiping all kinds of different things, and that feeling that they have, that's it. That's it. That's what they've got. But prayer to God, sincere, sensible prayer, it's full of feelings, isn't it? It's full of deep pouring out of my emotions, how I feel to him. It's important. It's important that I'm sincere about how I feel. Does he not know how I feel? Yes, he does. But he desires for me to express it to him. He desires for me to go to a different place, away from all the distractions that hinder my communication with him. You have those in your life? I do. Distractions of this world that hinder me in my communication with God, my one-on-one time with him. Sincere and sensible, pouring out of the heart or my soul. And I'm using his statement as a guideline this morning. I was impressed by it. The Lord used him to write this. Sometimes when we pray in the Spirit, there is a sense of, and I use that word sense, a feeling of, or a sense of mercy received from God as we're praying. We sense the fact that he has given us strength to rest. That's important. As I express my need to him, my concerns to him, my worries, He gives me this peace inside, and I get a sense of mercy received. I get a sense of Him encouraging me to keep on going. Keep on going. I get this sense of strength coming from Him that I didn't have when I came to Him in prayer. And then I get a sense of enlightenment from Him. How does He do that? He does that through His Word, doesn't He? When I'm praying to Him in this personal pouring out of my heart and soul to Him, He reminds me of something in His Word. And He enlightens me to it to be what I need. Because you see, my spiritual man is hungry. My spiritual man desires the strength of God in my life. My spiritual man desires more spiritual food so that I can stand up and be strong. And as I'm praying to Him, I receive these things from Him. And I have a sense of receiving these things. I realize it. And this strengthening of the bond between me and my God causes me to want to return more often, doesn't it? It causes me to want to separate myself from all these things on my mind and all these things that go on more often to be alone with Him. You know that no matter where you go, if you're one of God's children, you are never by yourself. Never. Not for one breath. Not for one split second. You're never alone. Oh, but when you are alone from everything in this world and the people in this world, you are with Him alone. You are with God alone. It's important that we do this, that we go to Him. Not just in church. And this is important that we come together and we worship Him in spirit and in truth. We seek Him. We seek His guidance as a church. We praise Him as a church. But our personal one-on-one relationship with our Savior is bonded together by the communication between Him and us. It's important, you see. He uses this communication again to wrap His arms around us and bond us closer and closer to Him. In 2 Samuel chapter 7, let's take a look at something here that David said. In verse 25, 2 Samuel 7, 25, and this is David speaking. The Lord just keeps subduing David's enemies over and over. And what does He use to do that? Communication with David. David prays to Him. Verse 25 in the 7th chapter. And now, O Lord God, the word that Thou hast spoken concerning Thy servant and concerning his house, establish it forever and do as Thou hast said. Oh, God's word is sure and positive, isn't it? And let Thy name be magnified forever, saying, The Lord of hosts is the God over Israel. And let the house of Thy servant David be established before Thee. For Thou, O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, hast revealed to Thy servant, saying, I will build Thee an house. Therefore hath Thy servant found in his heart to pray this prayer unto Thee. David found it in his heart to pray to God, didn't he? And he repeated, he reiterated, if you will, God's promise to him. For Thou, O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, hast revealed to Thy servant, I will build Thee an house. Therefore, based on that promise, hath Thy servant found in his heart to pray this prayer unto Thee. And now, O Lord God, Thou art that God, and Thy words be true, and Thou hast promised this goodness unto Thy servant. Therefore, now let it please Thee to bless the house of Thy servant, that it may continue forever before Thee. For Thou, O Lord God, hast spoken it, And with thy blessing, let the house of thy servant be blessed forever. What an example of prayer. David went to the Lord. It was just David and God. There wasn't a group here. It was David and God. And David said, Lord, you have promised that you would build me a house. The Lord has promised that he's going to prepare a place for me and for you today. Brother Chuck talked about that new body. The Lord is preparing that body for you. It's not made with hands, see? No, that means it's perfect. And that's the reference there. Made with hands, everything's going to fail. Everything man-made is going to fail. You're going to have to fix it eventually. It may be brand new when you buy it, but you're going to have to fix it. Because it was made with hands, not true with God. Oh, that it would move us in our heart, as it did David, to pray unto the Lord and say, Lord, you have promised that I'm going to receive a new body. And that my loved ones in the Lord are going to receive new bodies. And that we're going to be able to worship you forever, aright, without sin, without pain, without crying, without disruption. Oh, praise him. Won't it move you in your heart today to go to him? Just you. Just him. He's your Savior. He's your God. He loves you. He not only knows what you need, he's promised to provide it. So even as David did, we can go to him, can't we, and say, Lord, you've promised. And I know you are a true God. Your promises are steadfast and true. They will come true. That kind of confidence we can go to him in. That kind of confidence. Knowing that he loves us. Knowing that he will always care for us. And then the brother said, affectionate. He said, prayer is a sincere, sensible, and affectionate pouring out of the soul to God. You love the Lord this morning? I know you do. It's because he first loved you. He's always loved you. And no, he doesn't respond to our prayer with something brand new that he hadn't thought of before. He's always loved you. He's always known what you were going to need. And he's always had it ready to provide for you. Affectionate, pouring out of our soul to God. What strength, life, vigor, and affection there is in a true prayer. Remember Psalm 41 says, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. Does your soul and your heart pant after God this morning? It does. Run to him. I have longed after thy precepts, the psalmist said in 119:40. I have longed for thy salvation, Psalm 119:174. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Psalms 84:2. My soul breaketh for the longing that it hath unto thy judgments at all times. Psalms 119:20. You see, it's a very personal relationship that you have with God this morning. Yes, it's affectionate. We love him. He's always loved us. The fourth thing, he says, prayer is a sincere, sensible, affectionate pouring out of the heart or soul to God through Christ by the strength or assistance of the Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit makes intercession for us. Jesus Christ is on the right hand of the throne of God making intercession for us. There's a lot of intercession going on for us, isn't there? There there is. Oh, that we would recognize it and realize that all of this that God has given us, provided for us, and then instructed us on how to use, came through the shed blood of the Son of God. Came through that covenant of love that God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit entered into before the foundation of the world. All of this was bought, and it's yours. Oh, won't we use it? Won't we trust Him enough to obey Him? Won't we realize this morning that it is He that draws us unto Him? Through Christ, by the strength of the Holy Spirit. One of the things that I said was that we sense when we're praying to God is that strength. We can actually sense or feel ourselves getting stronger spiritually. This act of prayer in solitude, the Lord gave us an example more than once. He went up into the mountain to pray many times in His life. But He gave us this example to show that it's important that in prayer, it should be you and it should be Him involved. This is something that we need, and He's provided this unfathomable connection with God, the Creator of all things. What a God that has provided so much for us. We are justified by the blood of Jesus Christ that He shed on the cross of Calvary. We are sanctified. We are set apart from the things of this world for the purpose of serving our Maker. You see, it's through Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit, that we have this connection with God. Mankind lost his connection, didn't it? Yes, because of the fall. A rebellion against God. Oh, but God the Father sent His Son, and He justified us on the cross of Calvary. That means we haven't sinned in God's eyes. That's what that means, justified. Just as if we had never sinned. Because we are seen and found in Jesus Christ. And then we are sanctified, set apart by the Spirit of God. He moves us into this act of fervent prayer. In our life, over and over, God is teaching us our total dependence on Him. Over and over, that's how often I have to learn it. Over and over, I really can't depend on myself to get me through this life. Not walking in Jesus Christ and struggling to serve Him, striving to serve Him, seeking to serve Him. I've got to have Him to do it. I've got to have Him to do it. I can't do it. Oh, but He is there. He is here. And He it is that gives me the strength to be strong. The strength to stand up for what's right, what's true, regardless of what's said. The truth is the truth, whether we believe it or not. God is God, whether we believe He's God or not. He is. He's the great I Am, no matter what we believe. Oh, but as we turn to Him, He strengthens us. God has promised to conform us to the very image of His Son. What does His Son do that we can't do? He walked 33 plus years on this earth without sin. He was impeccable. No, He couldn't sin. And he did it to stand in our place, that he could make intercession for us to God the Father, that we might be seen in him again without sin, justified. He has promised this eternal life of perfection, praising him. Oh, how we need to go to him. How we need to, through prayer, shore up this communication that we have with God and be strengthened in his word. It's true. It's all true. We will dwell with him eternally. Oh, what a God. That's as far as we're going to get this morning, I believe. Remember to pray for me. I will remember to pray for you. Pray for the Lord's churches all over this world. They're not different than us. They're going through the same things we're going through. They're in the same world with the same problems, the same enemies, exactly the same. Let's remember each other in prayer. It is so important, and it is a wonderful privilege that we can come before our Maker, and he hears us, and he cares. He cares. And yet at the same time, not only is it a wonderful privilege, but it's a responsibility. It's who we are. It's who we are.